Episode number 7 of 2018, Hot Air Podcast coming at you. This week I sit down with Marcus Thall, second-year player on the DC Breeze, sizable quads, D-line player, standout all around. Great conversation in store with him. We get the banter in you've all been craving. I've heard it. The puns aren't where they used to be for Hot Air. I don't know if we hit the puns this week, but we definitely have some laughs, so stay tuned for that interview with Marcus Thall. I wanted to take this up front today to talk a little bit about how the season is going around the AUDL East. The Breeze currently sit at 4-4-1. 4 wins, 4 losses, and 1 oddball tie. Exactly a .500 record. And they have played 5 games. They're sitting at 3rd in the East. And as you may know, top 3 teams in the East all qualify for the playoffs. Not all seeds are created equal, as you might imagine, though, and the 2 and 3 seed need to play each other for the right to go play the number 1 seed. And it's not mathematically a certainty, but I think for all intents and purposes, Toronto, at 8-0, has locked up that number 1 seed. Number 2 right now is the New York Empire. They, however, have only played 6 games to the Breeze's 9 or the Toronto Rush's 8. In the 4 spot, knocking at the door, and I mean, really, Philly's still in this at 3-5. Even Ottawa Outlaws have an outside chance at 2-6. But fourth place, the other contender, based on what's happened on the field so far, is the Montreal Royale, and they're at 3-4. Right off the bat, Breeze have Toronto Rush twice more this year. The Empire play them just once more. The Royal play them just once more. And those are the games that are going to be the hardest upsets to pull off against that 8-0 team. But the Breeze have a good chance to do so because this upcoming Saturday, June 9th, 6:30 p.m., Toronto Rush play in D.C. on the first game of a 2-game road trip. 13-hour drive down here. This is the chance to blemish the Rush's roster, give the Breeze some confidence in those postseason games where they might have to play the Toronto Rush again, and get that all-important win that can buoy the Breeze to staying in the top 3 in the division and making that postseason. The Breeze then will have to travel to Canada, and they'll play the Rush again in a place where they have proven unbeatable, really, over the history of the AUDL. The second day of that road trip, though, is a game that I think the Breeze also need to target and win against the Ottawa Outlaws. Very losable game on the road. You're tired after laying it on the line against the Rush the day before, but the Ottawa Outlaws need to be beaten while the Breeze are on the road. So over the next 3 games, taking this record to a 6-4-1 would be very useful. They have 2 more games than the Breeze do. A home game against the Phoenix, very winnable. A home game against New York Empire, very winnable. We saw how that went just the other week. New York Empire might have a lot on the line that game. They might be playing through some of their tweaks and injuries more so. It might really matter, but nonetheless, a winnable game for the Breeze, doing so at home, doing so with their own reinforcements from the college season as some of these college standouts start peppering the roster of the Breeze just a little bit more. I will give at least a little bit of a nod here as well to the upcoming Empire's schedule as well as the upcoming Royal schedule. They do play each other twice down the stretch, which is good because they both can't win those games. And I think for Breeze fans, you should be rooting for one or the other, either Empire to sweep them or the Royale to sweep those 2 games. One on the 23rd in New York City, one up in Canada against Montreal on July 1st. Watch those scores. I think, yeah, if one of those teams sweeps that situation, the Breeze are looking a lot better to cement one of those spots, for the playoffs, and then the team that would win those games is the likely team the Breeze will play against in that first round of the playoffs for the right to play against the Rush in Toronto. They will have home field advantage as the 1 seed as well, and that's kind of the shakeout of where we sit in this season at about a 2/3 mark. I guess, 9/14 to be precise. 9 games having gone down for the Breeze, 5 left to play. During my conversation with Marcus, we'll talk some more about those recent games that have occurred. I know that's some of the good, rich content that I'm able to provide here. What went down as the Breeze beat Pittsburgh? What went down 2 weekends ago as the Breeze beat New York? I already alluded to it. Big win for the Breeze there on that one. Thanks goes out to all the Breeze's sponsors: Papa John's Pizza, Spectrum Management, Port City Brewing Company, Oak Creek Apparel, Murphy's Grill, American Ultimate Academy, Universe Point Cleats, and Cobalt CRM Solutions. Also, thanks to our nonprofit partners, Spirit of the Sport, the American Equity Invite. I'll try to get a little bit more information on what happened just last weekend in that series of games, women's high school games out in Virginia, as well as forestplanet.org, the other nonprofit partner. Thanks goes out to all them. Play us in, Broke Royals. Another episode of Hot Air queued up. Sitting down with the Quadrosaurus, the pride of Penn State, defense is heating up now, Marcus Thal. I'm excited to have you on Hot Air, Marcus. Warm up that microphone for me.
Hey, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me. Took longer than expected. I realize I live four whole blocks away, and it's hard to make these kind of things happen.
You've been in my digs before, though. Not recording. This time your conversation is recorded. I didn't at least admit to your conversation being recorded the first time.
That's true. You figured, since I'm so boring, that we would have to have a lot of trial, dry runs before actually recording this.
Last time you were here, we were playing some board games, and you were doing a lot of stretching in the background, too. I didn't know if that would translate to the podcast.
Yeah, I won't be sitting for very long, but since you started the podcast by saying sitting down with, I figured it was right.
Yeah, you were standing. I caught you off guard.
Yeah.
Marcus, 2 weeks ago I had Rowan McDonald on the podcast, and I made him respond to two recent losses the Breeze had, and we had a conversation that was it had its ups, it had more of its downs. We had to temper those terrible thoughts that were creeping into our mind. This week, you have the distinct pleasure of responding to two huge Breeze wins. They take the record to exactly 500. The Breeze now sit 4-4-1. That one pesky tie in Philadelphia, second one in ADL history. Very strange occurrence. But let's not talk about that. Let's talk about those two big wins. The first one being right here in D.C. against the New York Empire. Tell me, just characterize the game for me, and I'll start asking questions from there.
So, the history of New York Empire and the DC Breeze is storied, and it seems like the tightest rivalry in the AUDL that I know of.
It's a close one for sure. Back and forth.
And I've seen some statistics that speak to that as well.
Yeah.
Like the plus minus and the wins and losses, pretty much they always win at home anyway. It was heartbreaking to lose to them in the final second of the game earlier this season when it felt like we were the better team, and in the final quarter, we finally got a comeback, but it was too little too late. So this time we thought, hey, if we don't wait till the fourth quarter, maybe we can just win it early.
Yeah.
And as you've said, Rowan called a big first quarter. And
yeah, for Hot Air listeners, Rowan said, it's always some weird occurrence in the third quarter where someone really outscores the other team in a New York Empire matchup. But this week we're coming out hard in the first quarter. And you guys did. You took a 6-1 run in the first 7 points. Six of them went for the home squad.
So sometimes the O-line beats up on the D-line at practice, and that hurts our feelings. And some of the games, they get broken more, and we...
You're coming off so emotional right now.
that's kind of how we are in the race. But, yeah, I think we just decided that week we're going to be more competitive, and we're going to take it to them early, and I don't want to brag too much, but I'd say I'm the sole reason for Brad Scott's D on the first D point.
Yeah.
That started our run away with 6 points.
Did Rowan do anything? I mean, giving Rowan a lot of credit here. Did he do anything particular at the beginning of that game that also helped prompt you? Or this is Rowan just Notre Donald it and you guys made the action happen?
It's really hard to say that Rowan ever doesn't do anything that helps the Breeze. He is such a good player. He is a very great presence as a captain and a leader. So he has been ramping up practices and saying we need more competition, we need to play tighter, and I would say that practice is what led to a big game on Saturday.
So one of the other features of that game was you didn't have Daryl Stanley. You had John Agan in the huddle with you. John Agan, of course, a longtime Breeze player, but I've never seen him in action as a coach. You now have. Tell me what it's like to have that presence in the huddle.
I, too, have never seen Agan anything other than a player. I came to D.C. last year to meet him as a Breeze and Truck teammate. I say that he is the best teammate that has ever existed in the sport of ultimate, probably in sports in general. And it was very interesting. I didn't know he was going to be the coach until a couple days before the game. He came to our practice, introduced to the new Breezers as Coach Agan. I said, well, this should be a good experience. Yeah. He's a great teammate. Why? He's an experienced ultimate player. Why couldn't he produce as a coach? And it worked.
Yeah, and now he's 1-0. So tell me about the second big win, which is going on the road. I mean, even though it's maybe a weaker squad in the Pittsburgh Thunderbirds, any road win in this league is hard to get. Tell me a little bit about what went down in Pittsburgh, and particularly a very close first half.
Sure. So going to Pittsburgh, for me, my hometown, it was a big deal because I played for the Thunderbirds.
Sure, I should have even mentioned that. It's a homecoming.
Right, and I played for Penn State for 5 years, which meant I lost to Pitt every year at regionals.
Uh-huh.
Thus, a lot of games to go that I wasn't able to get to nationals. So it's always fun for me to get to compete with those kind of hometown people that I grew up with playing Ultimate.
Why do you think that is? Why do you like playing against guys you know a little better?
It just feels more competitive.
Yeah.
It feels like you have that much more pressure to perform.
Cool.
So going back, the Thunderbirds lost a lot from the last few years. They were a pretty good team, usually second or third in their division, and this year has had a steep drop-off. They lost a lot of players, I think, to the boycott. They lost some people to other cities. And going back there, I was thinking, it's a weak team, but I know they have their superstars who week in, week out perform.
Sure.
So I knew we were going to have to lock them down. And so the tightness in the first half was hard to swallow. We're sitting there thinking, this team's 1-7. Why aren't we ahead yet? Their superstars were playing well. Sam Van Dusen throwing a lot of good hucks. Max Shepard running a lot down. They're playing decent defense. And that's what led us to a 4-4 score at the end of the first quarter, I believe, where we got riled up by our coach a little bit for being tied with a 1-7 team. And eventually, we started to pull away.
You guys had your own superstars show up. Maybe some of the superstars weren't there to start with. Do you go into it with a different mentality when you don't have Rowan McDonald, Wodatch, who else was missing for that
Max
game?
Castle,
Max Castle was missing from that game. Do you change your approach any, or do you even acknowledge that?
So it's interesting. A lot of times we don't know, other than injuries, we don't know who the active roster is until Friday or Saturday.
Yeah.
So it's hard for us as players to even take the mental capacity and waste the brain power on, oh, who are we going to have playing? It's just, we're going to have who we have, we know our system, and I think we take care of business no matter who's there.
And I'll say, you kind of had other superstars step up, if I might. Nate Pryor, particularly, strung together an amazing game. 68 touches without a throwaway, and 4 assists scattered in. It's not like he wasn't taking some risks.
Back to 2017 Nate Pryor.
Yeah, sure. And Lloyd Blake had a great game, too. He's had some trouble in this early season with a couple games with high turnovers, and really controlled that and controlled the pace in the backfield as well.
Yeah, I think a big part of that was after being tied with a team that we felt was below us and being yelled at by our coach, those handlers took it upon themselves to make sure they weren't going to turn the disc over and they were going to make Pittsburgh prove that they could take it.
But the following day, you stayed in Pittsburgh an extra day, despite there not being a Breeze game the following day.
Gotta stay in the hometown.
you're saying either way, but the whole squad stayed, or at least a chunk of them, because you played in a mixed game, which is still somewhat of a rarity in the ADL, although it's going on coast to coast in a couple different cities now. Talk to me about the game, I guess it was DC Mixed versus Supercell. Teams that were comprised of men from the Thunderbirds and the Breeze, and women from those two respective cities.
So, I want to give most of the credit to Pittsburgh on this. The women in Pittsburgh were demanding more from the ADL, and they spoke to the owner early on, and I think even before any word of the boycott came out, they said, we want to be a part of the ADL, and can we try out? And so all those started to push. So they went to tryouts, and then they had a separate mixed tryout mm-hmm. for this DC Super Pittsburgh Supercell team. Now their plan was to organize games throughout the season and work them, I guess, as they could.
Yeah.
When feasible with money. And on DC's end, we made this equity committee, which was on the podcast a few weeks ago with
sure.
Becca. We
it's on again a little bit in the form of you, am I right? I mean,
sure,
you're also on that equity committee, right?
Also on the equity committee. So when we started as the committee, Don, one of the owners, told us some of the opportunities that had already been presented to him,
yeah.
including this Pittsburgh game. So if we're going to be in Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh has a team, could we do the same thing? Could we match them? And planning in the last month and a half was crazy, and we somehow got it together, but very much to the thanks of Andrew Gardner and the Pittsburgh Thunderbirds.
Nice. Yeah, I know. I actually don't know what's happening this very next weekend. There's a Breeze home game. However, I will be in Philadelphia on June 9th because Pittsburgh will be playing against Philadelphia that Saturday. And I know Pittsburgh was talking about bringing a mixed team to that event to play against Philadelphia. You know, D.C., Pittsburgh, and Philly, three kind of geographically close opportunities, making the mixed scene happen with their one-day away trips. You know, sets up a second day that can be utilized, even with tired legs, to have some doubleheaders, if you will.
See, when we were staying for the Pittsburgh game, I just was thinking to myself, this is how Ultimate is supposed to be. My entire career was two-day tournaments.
Yeah.
And now that with the ABL, it's almost strange going home after a night game and not getting to play the next day. And it's been very cool to get to play that second day in a row.
Tell me a little bit more about the on-the-field product then in Pittsburgh, though. So you played this game. It was great that it came together. Kudos to Pittsburgh scene for demanding it, for being present, for reaching out to the Breeze. But you show up. You get to the field, you know, what strategically happens. It's a close game. And then what's happening in the stands? How do fans react to this?
Sure. So the coolest part about it was an AUDL game.
And yeah.
For all intents and purposes, I couldn't tell a single difference. The fans, there were more than 100 extra fans the mixed game, as opposed to the game we played the night before.
Yeah, more fans showed up on Sunday.
Which was really awesome to see. They were different venues, and it was the venue that I played at when I was on the Pittsburgh Thunderbirds, so that
cool.
was an extra nice homecoming.
Yeah.
But the product on the field was basically the same thing, and I enjoyed it more, frankly, because it was a tighter game, and that always makes for more excitement.
So I tuned in to some of that mixed game and noticed I noticed the Breeze were running a lot of Hostack, which I thought was interesting because that's usually not something you see a lot in the ADL. And then secondly, I noticed a lot of separation by gender where either the backfield or downfield were the women and then in the opposite place the men. Can you speak to that a little bit? Was that a conscious strategic decision for Hostack and for the separation of genders into the backfield and downfield?
Sure. So one thing that the DC Mixed team wanted to promote was the women were as much a part of the team as the men, which was maybe difficult on the surface because they were joining the Breeze to play a game. But that's mm-hmm. not how we wanted.
The men were used to playing together, but you're pulling women from different
right,
parts
exactly.
of DC.
We got some mixed women. We got some women that had played
Scandal,
women's.
Sure, yeah.
So that was somewhat of a challenge, but we wanted them to feel comfortable and even more in charge. So we ran some of their systems, which happened to be Hostack.
Uh-huh.
And I think the gender split was somewhat coincidental. We have some men that were more handlers or hybrid types and more women that were cutters. And if there's a choice, if there's going to be one, maybe two men downfield, at least in my opinion, I don't know if this is factual, I haven't played mixed in a few years, but getting the guy out of the backfield really opens it up for the women and for deep shots and
uh-huh.
what have you without poachers.
Yeah, removing the threat of poachers. Well, that's great. I mean, I'm glad to see it happen. Glad I got to tune in for a little bit, and we'll see whether some more opportunities come up this year.
Yeah, and something else about the product, which is just unbelievable. It was very lucky to play against Pittsburgh. The man doing commentary, Matt Weiss.
Oh, there's a good call out that should be made, yeah.
My goodness, I played for the Thunderbirds 2 years ago, so of course I never listened to the commentary.
Yeah,
and since then,
you're watching footwork.
Yeah, I'm not watching their games very often. I'm mostly playing. I'm not tuning into games afterward. I watched some film the week before just to kind of get used to the Thunderbird systems again, and I heard it, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
I'm not used to hearing Frisbee commentary that is great, let alone good.
Yeah.
And he
so descriptive.
He is comfortable with the names. He is very good at describing the systems
yeah.
the teams are running in a way that's not specific only to Ultimate players.
Yeah.
I think anyone could really understand it.
Yeah. No, he definitely had some allusions to other sports as well that helped people key in, helped me key in to exactly the concept he was talking about. It was very interesting. A great commentator for sure. Tune into that Pittsburgh Thunderbirds game. So that's the past. That's the celebration. Throw your hands in the air. Now's the hard stuff. Two games coming up. This weekend, a home game, 6:30 on June 9th against the Toronto Rush. And then you go on the road the following Saturday and play in two Saturdays out. Week off, and then so two Saturdays from now, you'll do the Canadian road trip, fanfare and all. And the first game of that, you play against Toronto Rush again. So your next two games are against the undefeated and probably, can I say, early favorite to be champion in the league at this point? You know, they've been flawless this year.
Yeah, I would say so. They aren't just on paper the best team in the league. I really think from watching their film, when they played San Francisco earlier this season, they
yeah.
made a San Francisco team that everyone thought was good just look like they shouldn't even be in the game.
Right. So tell me then, how do you hang with the Ellie? So maybe there's not a secret key to winning it, but how do you keep the game close and give yourself an opportunity to win?
Sure. So I don't want to say that Toronto is a one-trick pony whatsoever. They have a lot of great players. They are an entire team of talented, hardworking players. But they have been winning on the backs of two of their offensive playmaker cutters, Andrew Carroll and Cam
yep.
Harris.
That's right.
They, watching film of them, studying a little bit, we've seen they run basically the same play every single time they're given the disc.
Yeah, they're a team that's built around the pool play. And even to get them into, you know, people talk about depth within a roster, right? It's do you let the top two or three players beat you, or you make their, you know, five through seven beat you? But also with Toronto, I would think, you can't let their A play beat you. You have to make them go to their C or D play. So 5 through 7 on the roster, plays C and D in the playbook. And not only are you talking about their top two players, you're talking about them running play number A.
Right, that's exactly how I've been looking at Frisbee and, honestly, sports for the last few years. My favorite book I read, Thinking Fast and Slow, which is all about psychology and cognitive psychology, how people think. There's some stuff about statistics. And I think about sports more like that. So it's not stopping Cam Harris's flick hook.
Yeah.
That's probably not going to happen. You just got to make it a little bit worse. Bring the 90% probability down to 80 if you
sure.
mess up Andrew Carroll's timing just a hair. And that's how we got, I think, a few of our only breaks against Toronto last
yeah.
time is you make Carroll go under instead of Cam Harris, make him go deep. Something, just go to their second play, go to their third option.
Sure, and that's interesting, that kind of the statistical thought in that is that if you're dropping something that typically works for them 90% of the time down to 80, now you're talking about it resulting in two extra turnovers a game.
Right.
So that's an interesting approach, and so you think it's about disrupting those two guys on offense. Is there, I mean, you are the D-line, but you know, if you're thinking on behalf of the O-line, how do you keep it rolling against their defense?
Another great question. So their defense is very dynamic. They can play person defense pretty well, but their strong suit is definitely a switchy, poachy, you're never really sure who is going where kind of system.
Yeah.
And I think that threw our offense for a little bit of a loop, a lot because at practice, we practice person defense mostly. We don't have a lot of those other systems. So that is something we've worked hard on. Our O-line, we've, as a D-line, pushed our O-line in the last month to be ready for.
So you've been playing at practice some more switchy schemes?
Yeah, finally, because I can't play person defense. And I've been telling Daryl for year and a half now, we gotta run something else if I'm gonna be viable.
Yeah, you're not coming off as indignant at all. Well, great. Those are gonna be exciting games. Come out to Catholic University, 6:30 this Saturday. That's June 9th, and enjoy a home game against the Rush, which is one of the last three home games left in 2018. A narrative that I've been talking about this season, and I'm excited to see come to fruition, is about the influx of talent the Breeze are going to get in the middle of the season. In past years, you know, I really celebrated the addition of just one great college player last year, and Joe Freund joining halfway through the season. But this year, I think with a couple different college programs getting nationals experience, and also being on the Breeze's roster, maybe some more flexibility on the roster, there's a lot of very exciting players set to join and become fully committed. They played a couple of reps already, but become fully committed now that they're done with the college season and college nationals. Talk to me a little bit about, you know, your level of excitement as you see guys joining the roster like Christian Boxley, like Joe Richards, Norbum, Reese Bergeron, Lou. You know, are any of those guys, you know, particularly excite you, and maybe talk to their playing style a little bit? Is that something you're interested in?
Sure. So these are guys that are showing up, and to my perspective, I've never really heard of most of them. I've played with Zach Norbaum. Joe Richards was on the team.
Sure, they were there last year.
Watching them at Mary Washington, I saw some of their games in the fall. These other guys who played for decent college teams that either they were the answer or something about their programs jumped up this year and they were able to make that push to nationals.
Yeah.
That's a lot of nationals experience for teams that don't go every single year.
Yeah.
And above that, seeing multiple Callahan or Donovan videos for these players and then see that is now joining this team all of a sudden.
The hype train is rolling.
It really is. Watching Christian Boxley throw a greatest to send his team to nationals for the first time in I don't know how long or ever.
Ever.
Okay. And then on top of all of this, this hype train that's just forming in your head and the videos, now I've gotten a chance to practice with some of them.
Yeah.
And even see them in a game or two. They are just explosive, athletic, and I just want to say impressive.
Yeah.
Things they're doing aren't the typical, and to add that in the middle of a season to a D-line that is maybe consistent but needs that extra jolt of energy sometimes, I am very excited for the prospects that they are bringing. As someone who can't just make those two steps to close down and get those Ds the way they can, it's really awesome that my job can just be shutting a guy down and them getting the D.
Yeah, I don't know if I truly believe that you're not the guy to close those last two steps, but I'll take your word for it that certainly Christian Boxley and Alexander Fall are capable of doing it. So that's the end of kind of the season recap, the future-looking elements of this podcast. Now I want to get down to the nitty-gritty, and that means it's time to play a little over and under.
Okay, should I go under the table?
You can go under the table. You can be the table troll for this portion. I'm going to ask you, as hopefully faithful listeners know at this point, about a series of nouns. They might be ultimate related, they might be pop culture related, and everything in between. And I want to know whether you think they are under or overrated. All right? Alan Kolick got too far inside his own head on this one time, and we both walked out of the room more confused than we walked in.
Alan Kolick, definitely underrated. Definitely.
He's not the first one. The first one is Pop-Tarts. Over-underrated Pop-Tarts.
So I grew up with only... my mom only allowed strawberry Pop-Tarts, and I want to say the reasoning was they were the healthiest.
Yeah. I think they're all full of artificial everything, though.
Yeah. Now as someone who very much cares about what he eats and puts in his body as fuel, I am confused how she came to this conclusion. Yeah,
it's got a strawberry right on the box.
But I would say underrated. They are just easy to grab. They were pretty delicious. I never even put them in the toaster, which is apparently what you were supposed to do. Warm them up, get them nice and gooey. I do have fond memories of those strawberry Pop-Tarts.
So, fond memories, though. So, I am surprised, though, because you're a guy that I feel like has a pretty manicured diet at this point. Would you crush a Pop-Tart as a post-game snack?
No, never.
You wouldn't?
Mm-mm. I haven't touched a Pop-Tart.
So, they're delicious, but still not recommended.
Right. not recommended from me, by me, no.
Marcus enjoyed, not Marcus approved.
Yeah.
Next up, we talked about the system of play a little bit, but I want to know more detailed about your opinions, the Hostack. Horizontal stack in Ultimate, abbreviated to Hostack for maximum offense.
I will say, without a doubt, overrated. Honestly, it's a little confusing at this point. I haven't seen anyone run a Hostack in high-level men's. To be honest, I haven't watched as much women's and mixed.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But I think it is a little bit of a rarer breed right now.
So, but I know four years ago, that's all anyone ran.
Yeah.
And
so what are your problems with it?
It takes up all of your own space.
Yeah.
It's very easy to poach off unders, deeps, and any good Hostack that's run now is politely called a Hostack, but is honestly a side stack, and it just looks a little bit different.
All right, next up, ice baths. The popular post-game activity of some people. Some insane people.
So, ice baths, I'll say underrated.
Okay.
They are good for you. I think there's a lot of confusion on what the benefit is, when to use them.
Yeah.
But by and large, they are good for you.
What's the science of an ice bath? Because if my muscles wanted ice to recover, would ice not have been put into my bloodstream?
Come on, evolution.
Yeah,
figure that out.
Come on.
So the science is, and that's what is a little bit confusing. People think
science is always confusing.
So science is confusing, let alone what it's disseminated to lesser.
Where's Becca Arbacher to straighten me out of my science?
Yeah, so ice baths, a lot of Ultimate players use as the post-game, post-tournament recovery because it, quote-unquote, reduces inflammation. They're thinking, well, if I put it on my ankle to reduce swelling, why don't I put it on my whole body because I'm sore everywhere?
Uh-huh.
That is not what the purpose should be. That's not why it will be effective. It is much more of a nervous system jump start. So that's why cold showers, highly recommended. Everyone should do that every single day. In ice bath, it will close up the blood that gets to your extremities and to the outer part of your skin, closes that down, and when you get out of the ice bath, replenishes it with fresh new blood that wants to help you heal.
Okay. And so you're an adherent. You're an ice bather.
I do take ice baths on occasion. Sometimes it's too much work. The physical therapist that
unbelievable.
Well, it's hard to get all that ice. Well, at a tournament, if everyone's gonna get a big bag of ice for, I take a cold shower every morning. Yes,
okay.
Of course.
How many ice baths do you think you take in a year?
Let's say 30.
That's a lot of ice baths.
Yeah. My gym has a big ice.
That's a lot of ice baths.
Yeah.
Let me just take that in for a moment. Yeah. That is a lot of ice baths.
Yeah. Let's not say every week, but hopefully I get there every other week or so.
Yeah, that'd be 52.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up, over underrated television program, The Big Bang Theory.
Does anyone like The Big Bang Theory?
I think a lot of people like The Big Bang Theory. I mean, right. So it sells cable subscriptions, maybe.
I'll say overrated.
Overrated?
Yeah.
They're making spinoffs now? Someone's loving it.
Yeah, I have to say overrated. I know I used to watch it when I was in high school, or back when I watched cable television, I guess. And sometimes it's funny. You can relate as someone who maybe isn't good with women or something else that other people know about. Not me personally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. These are not the afflictions that hurt you in your daily life.
Or being smart, also. No idea what yeah, that's about.
Not an affliction for you either.
But, yeah, I don't know. It seems like...
You wouldn't be sitting down on the sofa watching some Big Bang Theory, though.
No, that's not for me. So. I don't watch a lot of sitcoms. Also, I don't watch a lot of sitcoms anymore, I guess I should say. But something with a laugh track I also can't really do anymore.
Got it.
Even though Seinfeld, one of my favorite shows ever.
Oh, well, that's just entirely a curveball.
Yeah, I like to keep them guessing.
Okay, but so, definitively, Big Bang Theory...
Oh, definitely overrated.
Overrated.
If people like it, yeah.
Next up, I think a guy that you have played with a lot in your career, certainly you played against a lot in your career, not playing in the ADL this year, he's overseas, but I have heard he might be making a return to the country very soon, Alex Thorne.
Oh, you're asking
over,
if he's over
underrated.
I wasn't sure if you want to talk about the gossip regarding him and playing with him a couple of years ago before he did go overseas for grad school and said, see ya, Temper, I gotta go.
No, I just thought you would have a good insight into the man that is.
Yeah.
He's much hyped. He won awards in Britain last year. Over underrated, Alex Thorne.
He could not possibly be overrated. When I first played with him on the Thunderbirds in 2016... I had heard everything. I had played against him. He is so accurate. His throws are so perfect. We went to Minnesota where no one could complete 15-yard throws. And here he was. The wind didn't affect. He threw upwind 60-yard flick hucks like he didn't care at all, like he didn't notice.
So yeah, and actually, I missed in my intro the big reason I bring this up as well. Former Breezer, 2015 DC Breezer.
Right, he was brought in, him and Tyler.
The hired guns.
Yeah, hired as getting a much bigger paycheck than anyone else on the team.
Yeah.
Partially
for their trouble, coming down from Pittsburgh.
Sure, sure.
We didn't buy him a house here.
Harsh.
New York Empire joke.
So, yeah, he is one of the best throwers that I have ever had the pleasure of playing with.
Step five? What number are we on at this point? Over underrated. I don't know if it has a universally accepted name at this point. Kind of rolling on defense. Switching the mark after a swing. I'll call it rolling.
Underrated.
Underrated.
Anytime you can do slightly less work and or confuse the offense is an A+ in my book.
Yeah.
So
you like switching schemes a lot too. You just mentioned that a little
switching.
Bit. Yeah.
I like person defense, but I think there is no place for keeping your head down when you're playing defense. I think everyone should be paying attention to the entire field. They should know what the thrower is doing, and they should know what every single person on the field is doing.
Does that challenge you sometimes, though, if you were supposed to go into a particular play set or game knowing you were marking up on a particular person? If you're switching a lot, do you lose the person that maybe you're matched up with height or speed?
So that has been a focus on the Breeze of Daryl Stanley's Breeze teams have been roles and matchups.
Uh-huh.
And there are very specific when there's someone who's 5'5" on my team, he shouldn't be covering my guy who's often 6'2" and up.
Yeah.
But a lot of times in Ultimate, I think where Ultimate still is as a sport, there are good and bad decisions depending more on space than matchup. So I think that the scheme, that the switching should still supersede, at least for now.
Uh-huh.
Not to mention, it should, and then maybe coaches and players, we should be looking more for hybrids and more people that can play all those different roles because of the advantages of the switches, and then you don't lose that disadvantage of someone who can't jump very high or isn't quite quick enough to deal with a handler.
Got it. So, role underrated.
Definitely.
I meant to bring this up when we were talking about that mix game a little bit. The DC squad, and I would be remiss to not have this conversation as a branding specialist, as I am, a guy that named a podcast Hot Air and is now in its like fourth season, so neat. The mixed team from DC went by DC Mixed, which seems like a huge missed opportunity for all of the great wind puns that I've used in this podcast, for, I'm going to throw my top pick, and maybe it could even be an acronym, I don't know, short enough, Puff.
Puff, that's
it, it seemed, because like Breeze is like gentle, the Puff, mm-hmm. also gentle, underestimate the Puff. tell me if you didn't go through some iterations of hilarious and great wind-related names.
Sure, so the equity committee that I serve on was in charge of naming this, and...
And you failed me.
And, yeah, I honestly, we failed the city, and I apologize greatly for that.
Yeah, you're on the hot seat now.
Hot air, hot seat.
Uh-huh.
So, one of my favorite ideas was going DC Vortex, which is a nice win, something...
Vortex is pretty extreme, but I mean...
But just, I feel like there's a lot of women's teams in the... club that have those very intense names,
yeah.
Riot, sure. Fury, okay. Scandal, and I thought Vortex would be a nice conjunction with the women. And
I certainly like it more than DC Mixed.
Yeah, and I think the best part would be stealing the old Philadelphia Spinners logo, just like right off that. I mean,
sure.
They don't exist anymore, they're not using it.
Yeah, they played in both leagues, so they're a fair game.
Another member was pushing pretty hard for DC Marvel. Really misses out on the win puns, but,
yeah.
You know. Like,
and also may have some trademarking issues, but yeah.
I mean, we could have just stolen DC Current and gone right back to the MLU. So.
Yeah. My college team was forced to change their name from Taz because we couldn't put it on a jersey. Warner Brothers didn't like it.
Hmm.
So I don't know how DC Marvel would play out. I think also maybe like it's a little bit of a wind pun. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of an Altman pun. The fronts.
The fronts? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe get into like pressure systems kind of thing.
Oh, maybe a little high-low?
Yeah.
Sure. Well... Let the word go out here. Hot air is unhappy with DC Mixed.
We'll send a poll in the field, see what everyone else thought, see if they were pleased with the name DC Mixed against Pittsburgh Supercell.
That's right. I'm going to hand over the mic to you at this point. We've covered my agenda. Are there any hot button issues on your mind, Marcus, that we want to talk about today before we sign off on this episode of Hot Air?
Okay, hot button on the hot seat on the podcast Hot Air.
Yeah. It's my favorite adjective, because I can spell it. Yeah, three letters, it's so easy.
Honestly, I wasn't sure what to think of this season coming in. We were losing a lot of people, and so I knew we were going to have changes both in roster and culture.
Yeah.
So I was curious to see how this season would play out. Brad Scott's one of the captains.
Yeah.
Who... Brad is one of my favorite guys. He is so hardworking. We go to the same gym together. We're there every day.
He's fashionable and hardworking. Brad
Scott. Fashionable and hardworking. I know he's got crazy stuff to do at work. He's in grad school at the same time. So much effort he puts into everything he does. And it did not stop as being a captain of this team early in the season. I think either nervous or just getting ahead of the curve, he said, let's have a team meeting. Everyone should be talking about what they want from the season, what they expect, what they want. Let's have it out in the open air.
Yeah.
And I think that was a great starting point for the team to build from. And that is something I greatly attribute to getting over the rocky start that the DC Breeze experienced early this season, which I don't think they have since... since everyone switched over from the DC Current a few years ago.
Yeah, that was only 2 years ago. But I mean, the 16 season had its ups and downs. The 13 season had its ups and downs. 14, 16, 17 were pretty successful. There's a Esser quick recap of Breeze history.
So, and then personally, this is only my second year on the team, third year in the ABL. It was maybe hard, and I am so appreciative of him for taking that step with the team and kind of eased my concerns and have allowed the team and myself to enjoy a lot more.
Well, great. That's also a good narrative to get out here and to talk about a little bit, that open culture of feedback and commentary, and you know, you're not going to get what you want unless you express it. So that said, I want everyone who listens to this podcast to subscribe. Head over to iTunes Music. We're on Spotify as well now, anywhere you get your podcasts. Thanks so much for listening to Hot Air. Thank you, Marcus Thal, for sitting down with me. Until our next podcast, everyone, adios.
Thanks for having me, Greg. It was really great to be on.